week, David. I was just recovering from my Peru trip.
That was always a wonderful experience. We gave a series of immigration talks in Peru, in Lima, in Cusco, and Arequipa. That plus the amazing food and the wonderful climate, it was very, very successful, and we will be going back in July for another round. You should come on down. You could use a vacation. You could use a vacation. David, I don't know if you know this or not, but there's an election coming up here in November. You may have heard. And Georgia has one of the early primaries. Our primary is in May. And looks like Karen Handel is going to be facing some opposition here in the general election. I don't think she drew a primary opponent, which is kind of crazy when I think about it, because I think she's easily beatable in a primary. But her two or three different people are running against her for the general election. One of those is a fellow I'm supporting by the name of Kevin Abel. So if you are listening local and Karen Handel is your representative, and you don't think somebody that has no opinion on anything unless she takes a poll is your kind of representative, you should talk to Kevin Abel. Former business owner here, employer of a lot of people, immigrant himself from South Africa over 25 years ago. Wonderful, wonderful man, great family. I think he'd make a superb representative for the 6th District. David, yesterday, in some immigration news yesterday, the Supreme Court decided to do a couple things and decided not to do a couple things that we want to talk about. So on Monday, the Supreme Court decided to take up a case in deciding whether individuals who are sentenced to a prison for a crime, serve that time in prison, and then are released from custody because ICE didn't pick them up in time, and then ultimately detained by ICE, are eligible for a bond. Now, this is a very interesting part of the law. It's called Section 236 of the Immigration Nationality Act. I think you'd also find it, I think it's 1146 of the 8 U.S.C. But this is the language. It says something really interesting. The Attorney General shall take into custody any alien who, let's see one, any reason who, shall take them into custody. One is inadmissible by reason of having committed any offense covered in 212A2. Okay, perfect. So we get that. So you commit a crime as part of that. Now, under that, it says the Attorney General may release an alien described in paragraph 1 only if the release of the alien from custody is necessary to provide protection to a witness, potential witness, cooperating in an investigation, or the immediate relative of such a person that's cooperating. This is what they're going to decide here is whether or not an individual can be released on bond, even though they are detained after somebody has committed the offense covered in this, the jail time. This is really a kind of a cutting edge issue as part of this process. It's cutting edge because right now the Ninth Circuit has ruled. Of course, always in the Ninth Circuit, right? Ninth Circuit has ruled that unless ICE picks that person up directly from the custody of the jail, that is, they literally, okay, they're in the jail, they get rid out and pick them up immediately, that such people that are picked up like that don't get a bond hearing. They're not entitled to a bond per that section in 236 of the law. But the Ninth Circuit ruled that said that convicted immigrants who are not immediately detained by immigration after finishing sentences cannot, that they are eligible for a bond and are not subject to indefinite detention awaiting possible deportation. And that goes right to the very heart of the language of the statute. And I think it's important for immigration lawyers that are listening to this, as we talk about these processes, as we talk about whether, you know, somebody is entitled to a bond under Section 236C, I think it's important to realize what the language of the statute says. And if the language of the statute says upon release, the query then becomes, do you have the ability as the government to interpret that beyond the normal meaning of the words upon release? Now, there's no doubt that Congress seemed to intend that ICE was there to pick up an individual right when they get finished with their custody. And if they are then simply freed, either because ICE didn't know about them or the jail didn't release them early, or simply that nobody knew they were actually undocumented immigrants or subject to deportation, seems to me that the person is not then subject to this mandatory detention under Section D. Because it talks about when the alien is released without regard to whether released on parole, supervised release, probation, without regard to whether the alien may be arrested or imprisoned again. So is admissible when the alien is released. Okay, that's going to be the fight at the Supreme Court. It is currently been the Board of Immigration Appeals decision as well that enables us to have our clients get bond hearings and not be subject to mandatory detention. If, in fact, the Supreme Court rules that anybody convicted of a crime who is then picked up by ICE is subject to mandatory detention, David, we simply don't have enough bed space. And this would be a boon, a massive boon for the private detention companies who currently have five different ICE detention centers under construction in the United States. GEO and CoreCivic are actively building detention centers throughout the United States to house more immigration detainees, and perhaps this decision is simply another step towards the over-incarceration of people in the United States. That's big news. Now, the other big news that came out yesterday, David, also from the Supreme Court, refused to take the case of Arizona's desire to not allow DACA recipients to receive a driver's license. This has been ongoing litigation for more than 6 years, and through two different governors, the state of California has tried to take driver's licenses away from DACA recipients. And finally, that litigation has an end. And kudos to my friends who litigated this case. It is this remarkable work and really lays the groundwork. Another bad decision from Arizona. Lays the groundwork for helping us to understand that treating people differently based upon their immigration status is never really a good thing. Now, congrats again to the DACA recipients in Arizona, their lawyers, for successfully convincing the Supreme Court not to take that case. The Ninth Circuit was right there. You can't discriminate against these kids in the way that law was written. You just can't treat similarly situated people differently. That is the beauty of the U.S. Constitution, and more power to them. Now, at the same time that we have that, right here in the state of Georgia, we are once again faced with the closing days of our state legislature. Now, David, you know what that means here in Georgia. In the last few days of the legislature, it's whack-a-mole time. And what whack-a-mole time means is that we are faced with situations where previously defeated legislation keeps coming back. Previously defeated legislation keeps being brought back up. So let's say in this particular case that Josh McCoon's legislation as part of his campaign for Secretary of State to see who can hate immigrants more wants to take driver's licenses away from DACA recipients. Gee, I think the Supreme Court just ruled on that. As much of a ruling as it was to confirm DAPA when they turned that back 4-4. And he also now wants to take driver's licenses away from people who have are pending deportation proceedings or who have deferred action, and replace those with a marked up driver's license that plainly states that those people are not legally in the United States. It is completely inappropriate for him to do that. He lost, but you know, you don't have to take losing fair and square. We don't have to do this. And so what ends up happening now is that Josh McCoon convinced somebody over in the House to substitute his bill, which was defeated in the Senate in committee, to substitute the original language into HB 258. HB 258 is now the vehicle which passed out of committee yesterday, and again, sponsored in the Senate by Josh McCoon, sponsored in the House by Alan Powell, Andrew Wealth, Eddie Lumsden, Bill Hitchens, and Rick Jasperi. It is apparently passed out of some committee yesterday in the House, and is designed to take these driver's licenses away from people who otherwise would be eligible for their regular old driver's licenses. And so what's going to happen with HB 258 is a really great question. It appears to it's going to be heading for hearing on the Senate Public Safety Committee next, and we'll see if we can stop it there. It is really just another piece of junk from the anti-immigration movement here in Georgia, who simply wants to bring Georgia back to the time of plantations and a differentiation of people based upon their skin color and now their immigration status. Now, of course, I'm sure I'll get lots of hate mail from the know-nothings about, you know, what part of the rule of law don't you understand? Or so do you support open borders? No, I just support treating people nicely who've done no harm to you. I support helping people make a better life in America. I support an immigration system that actually works for America and not against America. I support an immigration system that brings people together and doesn't divide them. And so we have this now tug of war in Georgia in the last 5 days of our legislative session, which for out of Georgia listeners actually lasts 2 weeks. We will see what mischief the know-nothing movement can wreak here in the last several days as we also see the primary races heating up in May for governor, lieutenant governor, secretary of state, and other state offices, where the Republicans in their primary are trying to out-hate other Republicans in their primary. Casey Cagle is a great example of this, a man who apparently was, by all measure, quite reasonable over the last decade and 12 years as lieutenant governor, has now decided to campaign on sanctuary cities, of which there are none in Georgia, and which is illegal in Georgia to actually be. So it's just, again, playing to the base, this rabid dog whistle politics. And Casey, I'm disappointed in you, man. And for that reason, you don't have my vote. Let's take a break here on the Immigration Hour on America's Web Radio.
Soy Charles Cook, el jefe del grupo de abogados Cook Immigration Partners. Estoy en su lado, con más de 20 años de experiencia con la ley de inmigración. Conozco cómo ayudarle. Sé la ley y sé que alguna gente podemos ayudar. Llámanos hoy a las 404-816-8611, a las 404-816-8611, o visítenos en el internet, www.immigration.net.
This is Dr. Elena George. Join me Wednesday mornings from 9 to 10 a.m. for Medicine on Call, a show dedicated to exploring the medical, social, and political aspects of our healthcare system in order to find solutions.
Cook Immigration Partners is your passport through the immigration maze. Whether it's help with E-Verify in your business, or help in how to document a new employee under the new I-9 rules, or if you marry a foreign national, Cook Immigration Partners is your best choice for a legal advocate. Call us today at 866-286-6200. That's 866-286-6200, or visit us on the web at www.immigration.net.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back to the Immigration Hour on America's Web Radio. David, now there actually is a little thing brewing right now in Washington, D.C. Don't know if you're familiar with it, but there is a budget that needs to pass by Friday. Or I think it's the budget. Something's got to pass by Friday. It's not a continuing resolution. Of course, DACA has been at least one of the minor focuses of this. The question is, what is happening as a result of that? Where are we with any possible DACA fix as part of the budget process? And here's where we are right now. Donald Trump, El Trompazo, as we're going to call him from now on the show, El Trompazo is now claiming that the Democrats are failing to protect Jim. Do you remember, David, the meeting in the White House over DACA when Donald Trump said, you know what, you guys agree to something, even if I don't like it, I'll take the political heat and I'll sign it. Do you remember that? I remember that. I mean, I knew at the time he was lying. I mean, I remember El Trompazo saying that. And then he said, "Look, I want to protect the Dreamers. I want to help the Dreamers. I want to make they're good kids. They're all well. Some of them are bad and drug dealers, but some of them are good kids." And of course, we know that was a lie too. So Trump is now saying that the Democrats are abandoning the Dreamers. Now these are the same Dreamers whose dreams he ended by ending DACA. That they are abandoning him because they will not agree to a budget proposal that completely funds one of the most stupid building projects in American history, which reflects a lot of what Donald Trump has built in his life, stupid projects, in return for 3 years of DACA. No pathway forward, no legal status, 3 years forward, 3 years, that's it. I got some bad news for El Trompazo. These kids, if they're all applying now for DACA, and every DACA kid right now, this moment, today, March 20th, happy spring, by the way, David, should be applying for their DACA renewal regardless of when their DACA expires. Moms and dads, madres y padres, si me escucha, por favor, diga a sus niños de ponga su aplicación de renovación ahorita. Now is the time to put your DACA extension in. That means if you apply today, you will have DACA for 2 more years at least, okay? And in 6 months, if you want to extend it again and they're still open, you could apply again and get 6 more months. You can keep extending your DACA while this period of time is open under federal court order. That's the Supreme Court allowed to go forward. So what Trump is offering is what DACA recipients already have the right to. So really, he wants something for nothing, which is typical Trump. This is how they work. This is how they float. This is the whole Trump con. El Trompazo has got your number, America, and you keep buying into this joke of a president who wants to hurt these kids for no other reason than he thinks it helps him with his base. What a sad, pathetic human being he is. And frankly, the people that still support him at this point, your eyes are not wide open. You simply don't care. Or you just believe, well, I selfishly got what I want. I don't really care what happens to anybody else. That's also sad. Also very sad. So DACA is left out. DACA is not part of the budgetary process. It's not moving forward. Now, the Democrats, of course, you know, they could twist his arm But the reality is they've already committed to a floor vote in the Senate. They're not going to filibuster. They've already said we're not going to filibuster. And so this is the change in status. They're not going to do it. Now, here's what's interesting. I've got a number of DACA friends and clients, and all of them support not taking this bad deal. I don't know a single DACA kid at this point that says we should take this really bad deal, because here's the deal. If you take Trump's deal now for $25 billion and a three-year DACA extension, what happens in 3 years? Well, in 3 years, Trump's still president. And so, you know, you got nothing to deal with. You got nothing. You have no leverage. This is the leverage you have. Trump wants this, because the other thing Trump wants is to eliminate family immigration, to eliminate your ability as an American to sponsor relatives, close relatives, your siblings, your parents, and your children and your spouse, not your aunts and uncles, not your tio, not your tia, not your cousin Eddie, just your parents, your spouse, your brothers and sisters, and your kids under 21 and over 21. And as a result, you've got a situation where there is only this amount of leverage against these guys, because you're not going to take that deal. Eliminating family immigration to America, which has been the backbone of our immigration system since 1790, when the first Naturalization Act passed, is not the way forward. This is, especially in an economy that is doing well financially, where Trump has so far not screwed up the Obama economy, and it's creating jobs and it's bringing people back into the workforce as we knew it would eventually, and at the same time we know that we have a lot of people retiring. We have baby boomers every day that are leaving the workforce in greater numbers than those replacing it. And thus, without an immigration boost to help us maintain our population and bringing in the people from other countries with ties to the U.S., this idea that Trump has that he is going to go to a merit-based system or a point-based system. Think about that hard for a minute. On first blush, oh, that's a great idea. But who would immigrate to America if you knew you could never bring your parents? Okay, siblings you might want to run away from, but you could never bring your parents. So a lot of immigrants come from countries where there's only one or two kids in the family. They see their obligation to care for their parents, but you'll never be able to bring them. They're shut out of the system. Who would immigrate? So we're gonna keep people out of the country who would otherwise immigrate, but for the fact they cannot reunite their families. They cannot bring their kids in. That's the other thing. The kids over 18, gone under Trump's plan. Gone. Never coming in. They have to figure things out on their own. You're going to leave in the middle of high school, you're going to kick your kid out of the United States? That's what Trump wants. I mean, just let's be clear. That's fact. Hashtag facts. That's a fact. Go and read his proposals that he's put forward through his minions in Congress. So right now, in the budget process, as they're talking about this deal, what Trump wants as far as the wall, I think the Democrats are willing to give him the stupid wall. It's a joke. They all know it's a joke. $25 billion won't be enough to build the wall. It will make some private contractors very, very rich, but the reality is it's not going to get built in any substantive way. But at the same time, I think they're unwilling to trade family-based immigration, along with the elimination of the diversity lottery, which has been the primary source of immigration from Africa and Eastern Europe over the last 25 years. Let's be clear about what that really is. And if you eliminate the diversity lottery, you eliminate African immigration to the United States. It's much more limited with that. And the diversity lottery, as our friends at Cato have pointed out, has been very successful for the United States. The education rate for those folks is higher than the education rate for employment-based immigrants, just almost on par with the education rate of family-based immigrants. And so you've got a situation where Trump is dealing in bad faith. David's dancing over here with the music. So Trump is dealing in bad faith on this process. We know it's bad faith. The Democrats know he's negotiating in bad faith. And the Democrats are right this time to say, you know what? If you're not going to, if you're going to negotiate in bad faith, we are simply not going to come to the table. I think Durbin's right. I think Schumer wants this tunnel built. That might have to wait until after the next election. But the reality is, the DACA recipients are better off at this point negotiating a budget in FY 2018 where they may, in fact, have some control over the budgetary process in the House of Representatives. That's simple. And that's kind of what we're looking at. And I think at the end of the day here, at the end of this debate process on Friday, DACA will not be in it, which is good, because that means the wall won't be in it. That means family immigration won't be limited and eliminated. And in fact, we can wheedle and waddle our way through the next 8 to 10 months and then do with this issue again in the beginning of 2019. I think that's in the best interest of DACA recipients. It does not help them at this point to be negotiating on this. Okay. And so I think that's wise. I think that's wise. I know you'll get some attacks from some people. I can't believe the Dems are bailing on DACA. No, you know what? This is the long game at this point. The long game here is now, even though the Democrats screwed it up before when Obama was president, I think there's a much bigger movement within the Democratic Party to push forward on the DACA solution as soon as the Democrats get control of the House, if that happens. You know, that the election's still... Still 8 months away, David, and so we don't have any, you know, for sure about what's going to happen. And even though there are some folks that think DACA can be fixed, I would just say take the 2 years that you have right now, and there's not enough DACA kids applying, people. I mean, if you've got DACA, clear lawyer, you should be calling every one of your DACA recipients saying apply now for renewal. This is renewal time. This is when you got to put your renewal in. If you're a DACA recipient or you're involved in the community, get DACA recipients to be applying for their extensions now. They should not be waiting for DACA.
By the way, Charles, as long as we're talking about it, if there's a young DACA person out there listening, young or old, as a matter of fact, that's into being or is an IT person,
You're looking for somebody right now, right?
I'm looking for somebody.
IT and radio, if you're interested. And David, how do they reach you?
Just GM at AmericasWebRadio.com, and be glad to take a look at their experience and have them in and talk to them about what I'm looking for. But they need to be IT and audio.
Can teach them the audio part. If they got the IT, the audio is not that hard. Uh-huh. So get them in here. If you know somebody who's interested in a job, free advertising. Look, it's an immigration show, and here we are solving America's problems once again on America's Web Radio. David does not advertise on the chicken show, you don't have the chicken show anymore, David? It's gone. That's too bad.
Not for 3 years. You keep asking.
I keep asking. Well, I figured we'll come back. As soon as I'm ready to get chickens in my yard, I'm going to want them back. Can we take our break now as we go forward? Let's take our break now on America's Web. We'll be right back with our next segment.
Soy Charles Cook, del Buffet de Abogados Cook Immigration Partners. Si usted tiene problemas con inmigración, llámenos hoy. Conocemos la ley. Sabemos cómo ayudarle. Si hay algo que se puede hacer, nosotros lo podemos hacer. Llámenos a las 404-816-8611, a las 404-816-8611, o visítenos por el internet a la www.immigration.net.
Whether cruising the strip in a 57 Chevy or taking the family on a vacation in a 71 Oldsmobile Vista Cruiser, you need to tune in to Classic Cars with Steve Ronaldo and Jim Weber every Saturday from 8 to 9 a.m. on AmericasWebRadio.com.
Cook Immigration Partners is your passport through the immigration maze. Whether it's help with E-Verify in your business, or help in how to document a new employee under the new I-9 rules, or if you marry a foreign national, Cook Immigration Partners is your best choice for a legal advocate. Call us today at 866-286-6200. That's 866-286-6200. Or visit us on the web at www.immigration.net.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
What? Welcome back to the America's Web Radio on Immigration Hour. It's going to be interesting to see how this budget showdown actually ends up, David, because I think it has great meaning for a lot of folks interested in the immigration debate. But at the same time, I think it's wise just to drop this at this point. We'll deal with DACA later. So, again, if you've got DACA recipients that you work with, that you know, if you're a DACA recipient, renew your DACA now. I don't care when – Mr. Cook, my DACA expires in October. Can I renew? Yes. My DACA expires in May. Yes, yes, yes. Renew your damn DACA. I don't know how many times to say this. Just renew it now. If you expire 1 year and 8 months from now, file your renewal. It's going to take them 6 months to get to it. Then they're going to give you 2 more years, not on top of your time, but from that time frame. So you're buying more time, and the more time you buy, the better it is for you going forward on these issues. It just makes the most sense to get this stuff done and to get your DACA extended as long as possible. Now, David, on other immigration news that's out there, we've got all kinds of fun stuff going on. All kinds of fun stuff. You heard about the raids, right, in California. Did you hear about the spokesman in the ICE San Francisco office who quit after being told to lie about the immigration raids that were occurring there? Did you hear about that? All right, so this gentleman, a longtime employee of ICE, was told to say that because the Oakland mayor warned Oakland residents, Oaklanders, that ICE was going to engage in an enforcement operation in her city, she went on the air and said that, maybe she tweeted it, one of the two, then ICE, Thomas Holman came out, the cop wannabe, what a disgrace this guy is, what a joke, He came out and said that people have been harmed. 800 fugitives ran away. And the ICE spokesman said, you know, that's not true. I'm not going to say it. And they said, well, say this. Instead, he said, you know, I'm not going to lie. In fact, I quit. They arrested 121 people. They supposedly were targeting 800, but they never would have arrested that many anyway. That's not generally how these operations work. So you hear about these operations, and then following that, Holman and his agents have been out in San Diego. Over a three-day period, they arrested 108 people. 108 people. Wow, that's 108 in San Diego, but 115 in San Diego area. Okay, that's interesting. How many of those? Were really bad people? As opposed to people who just overstayed their visas or been deported. Okay. Oh, they arrested a gang member, been deported 4 times, a Kazakhstan citizen wanted by his country for tax evasion, so they had a blue letter for that guy. And that's basically all they can talk about. So that all the rest of them are probably visa overstays or prior deportation orders have come back. You know, honestly, very common. The reality is, back in the 90s and early 2000s, the border was pretty open, and people would come back after deportation, generally have lived here fine since then. And so you've separated families, you've made life hard for kids, and you've got 115 people that you deported, or that at least you detained. I imagine that some of them are going to be released, and some of them are going to fight their case, and some of them are actually going to ultimately probably get a green card in the United States. And it's... It's interesting to see this happen, and to see what effect it really has. Now, one thing it's doing, of course, is creating fear, if it's creating fear, that's what Holman wants. That's what Trump wants. He wants people to be afraid. But David, here's one thing that's very interesting. Nobody's left. You know, we were on the air back during the recession in 2009 and 2010, and remember we talked about all people that were leaving, including Americans, but a lot of immigrants were leaving. And over 1 million people left the United States. They were undocumented immigrants during that time frame. Why is nobody leaving now? Why is nobody leaving? Yeah, they might be afraid. They might go deeper into the underground economy. They might move and not leave forwarding addresses. There are some really heartbreaking stories about this. But, you know, the Trump administration's efforts here are really no different than what Bush did when he raided, you know, the meat processing plant and other plants back in the 2000s. Certainly no different than the deporter in chief about what they were doing. And it's it really seems really interesting that you have this these enforcement people that are doing the same thing they were doing under Obama, but now they're getting just simply more press. And in fact, what we're seeing is that a growing proportion of those people who are arrested don't have any criminal history at all. And it's what's happening is ICE, who typically in the past has really focused more on border crossing and after the Border Patrol gets through the Border Patrol being there, they can put more focus on interior enforcement. But ICE operations have remained basically the same. Staffing levels, which include deportation officers, that's DRO, criminal investigators, that's HSI, Homeland Security Investigations, and support staff, has not increased proportionally to the increase in arrests. So, for example, in 2016, there were 19,276 ICE agents, and in 2017, there were 19,776. Now, Trump wants to increase the number by 10,000, but the budget for 2018 only requested 1,606 new personnel. But that's new personnel to replace people that are leaving and augment, and they only got less than a third of that number actually hired. Because it's going to take years to reach that goal. I don't think they're ever going to reach that goal. And the fact of the matter is that the Obama administration's record is one that also saw many hundreds of thousands of individuals who were apprehended and removed who had no criminal history. Now, the Trump administration is much more willing to apprehend absolutely anyone and everyone who comes across an ICE agent's path, which is potentially removed from the United States. Okay, that's the law. They're much more willing to detain individuals and much more willing, this is most important, to use bombastic rhetoric about the public safety threat that some migrants present. It's interesting that this is happening like this. And going back to our former ICE spokesman, Mr. Schwab, quote, "We were never going to pick up that many people. To say that 100% are dangerous criminals on the street or that those people weren't picked up because of misguided actions of the mayors is just plain wrong." And so this is the focus on California is interesting. Because it also lets people think that California is this horrible place to live with undocumented immigrant criminals running around everywhere. But I don't know if you've been to California recently. It's an awesome place to live. You know, they had a budget surplus this year, dude. California, $6 billion in their budget. Yeah, I mean, think about that. And what's so bad about that state again? I can't quite figure it out. I love how Fox News is on the because I do occasionally dabble in Fox News when I want to get depressed. Their big thing yesterday was California is going to divide into two states. David, do you know when that's going to happen? Never. You can write that down too. Never. California's not going to divide into two states. One, we require congressional approval, and two, the people of that state aren't going to vote for that, so it's just not going to happen. One other thing I wanted to talk about was an interesting article that came out in from John Burnett as part of NPR. And this is an article that talks about 20 immigration activists that have been arrested under the Trump administration. Now, this is interesting, okay? There have been 20 different activists and volunteers that have been arrested over the last 14 months. Now, all of them are undocumented, at least these ones are from Migrant Justice, and they advocate for dairy workers in Vermont. Only one had a DUI. All the rest had no criminal convictions. They were all detained and put into deportation proceedings. Is Trump targeting activists? Is ICE or CBP targeting activists? Now, here's one way which I would say yes. The one difference that we see now in the Trump administration ICE as compared to previous administrations is that when they get a phone call about a complaint, they in fact, and I'm not faulting them with this, this is what they should do, right? They are trying to investigate every complaint of an undocumented immigrant. Now, this, of course, this is like the referee, the armchair referees calling into golf tournaments saying that guy's ball moved on television, you need to penalize him, you didn't call a penalty stroke. These people calling from home saying, hey, my next door neighbor is illegal, come pick him up. Or the guy I work with is undocumented, come pick him up. And ICE is actually following up on these. But here you have a situation where you have actual immigration activists from Migrant Justice in Burlington, Vermont. You've got the New Sanctuary Coalition of New York City, in which Jean Motreville, a prominent immigrant rights activist from Haiti, who co-founded the New Sanctuary Coalition, was also picked up. Now, according to ICE, he has several felony convictions for cocaine possession and served time in prison. He was ordered deported but allowed to stay if he checked in with ICE, which he did for the past 15 years. He was actually deported to Haiti on January 16th. In New York again, ICE arrested Ravi Ragbir, a well-known executive director of the New Sanctuary Coalition, during a routine check-in at ICE. He had been convicted in 2001 of conspiracy to commit wire fraud for processing fraudulent mortgage applications. He, too, had been allowed to stay checking with ICE and has recently been – had his deportation ordered stopped by a judge from New York. No More Deaths, which is a Arizona-based coalition, was charged by had nine people, volunteers, charged by the U.S. Attorney's Office with misdemeanors. None of the defendants are undocumented immigrants. The organization works to reduce the deaths of immigrants illegally trucking the desert. The federal charge includes entering the Cabeza Prieta National Wildlife Refuge without a permit, operating a motor vehicle in a wilderness area. Hours after No More Deaths released a controversial video showing Border Patrol agents kicking over water jugs, volunteer Scott Daniel Warren was arrested and charged with harboring undocumented immigrants, a felony, and the other people arrested, all heroes in Arizona for saving lives, have been charged with these misdemeanors. And then we've also got the case of Eliseo Jurado Fernandez, who was picked up outside a Denver supermarket. He is married to the Peruvian woman who sought sanctuary in three Colorado churches to avoid deportation. Jurado came to the agency while he was investigating his spouse. He has an old DUI, and he was then released from custody pending his deportation. We've got Baltasar Alberto Gutierrez, who in December 2017 was quoted in a newspaper complaining about his longtime partner's deportation to Mexico. And then ICE went and arrested him and said, you're the one from the newspaper. He has no criminal record at all. But ICE targeted him in Ocean Park, Washington. We've got Alejandra Pablos, who's an anti-Trump activist. Well, aren't we all? And a field coordinator for the National Latina Institute for Reproductive Health in Virginia. ICE detained her after she flew to Arizona for an ICE check-in, and she had an old DUI conviction. Though she had a green card, it says the DUI conviction makes her deportable. That's actually not true. So there must be that there's some factual problem there, and a DUI is not going to make you deportable on a green card. So there's something we don't know about that case for Alejandra Pablos, but she remains detained. Claudia Rueda is an immigration activist and college student who protested deportation policies as well as the arrest of her mother on drug smuggling charges. She was arrested on May 18, 2017, and released 22 days later. Their detention was motivated by retaliation of Sunset. A supervisor agent said, identified Rueda as part of a support network for a drug organization, but her mom was never charged and was held only on immigration violations. We have Daniela Vargas, a 22-year-old immigrant activist from Argentina, leaving a rally in Jackson, Mississippi, where she had spoken in favor of undocumented immigrant rights. ICE pulled her car over she was riding in and arrested her because her DACA status had expired, which, of course, she can apply to renew. She was detained for 10 days and then released. And then we have Maru Mora Villalpando. Told ICE to appear for immigration court to face proceedings. Came in 96 and overstayed a visa as a student, is a well-known activist who speaks against ICE detention policies in Washington State. When she says no criminal record, ICE says she came to her detention when she told the media that she was unauthorized. ICE says she has extensive ICE in the charge document says she has extensive involvement with anti-ICE protests and Latino advocacy claims programs. My God, I would love to defend that woman in immigration court. Please move to Georgia. So there you have the Trump administration actively going after activists who are undocumented and some who are U.S. citizens. This is the kind of government we have now. Let's take our final break here on America's Web Radio.
Soy Charles Cook, abogado y jefe del grupo de abogados Cook Immigration Partners. Llámenos hoy si usted tiene problemas con inmigración, si ha sido arrestado, si se casó con un ciudadano o tiene una oferta de trabajo. Nosotros le podemos ayudar. También podemos explicar qué puedes hacer para recibir los beneficios de inmigración. Llámenos hoy a las 404-816-8611, 404-816-8611, o visítenos por el internet al www.immigration.net.
This is Lawyer Liz. Join me each week as we discuss drones, the Internet of Things, and all the technology in between. It's Buzz Off with Lawyer Liz, Wednesdays at 2.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare, but for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose. And with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back to the Immigration Hour on America's Web Radio. The last part of the show here, I want to talk about really the last remaining piece of immigration legislation on Capitol. Now, I do want to mention briefly that the EB-5 program looks like it's going to be substantially revised in the budget bill. We don't have any details yet, but it looks like there's going to be some serious changes to the program. If you are an EB-5 lawyer or if you have doing EB-5s, you need to get them in. You need to be out the door by Thursday, so they can be filed on Friday, probably out the door on Wednesday if you filed on Thursday, in case they do decide to up the numbers and you miss out. So we've got Bob Goodlatte. Now, Bob Goodlatte purports to be a former immigration lawyer. I bet you $1,000 that Bob Goodlatte couldn't tell an I-130 from an I-140 and an I-526 at this point. He hadn't been an immigration lawyer in 25 years, has never practiced under IRA-IRA. He knows jack squat about immigration law. But he does know how much he hates immigrants. Now, I mean, Raul from Idaho, who somehow turned his back on his former practice and his way of life and his livelihood. I don't know what causes people like this to hate immigrants so much, but Goodlatte has been serving as the chairman of Judiciary Committee, where by all accounts he has been doing an absolutely terrible job. Apparently he doesn't even take phone calls from his own members, from his own party. And the bills he has put forward have just been junk if they're even voted on. I mean, apparently he could go down as the worst House Judiciary Committee chairman in recent or long-term memory. He's not running for re-election, as most of the House chairmen are, because he knows he'd probably get his butt beat in the next election. He has proposed something called Securing America's Future Act, or SAFA. Nolan Rappaport, who is eyeing for a job in the Trump administration, has been writing anti-immigration articles and pro-Goodlatte articles and anti-DACA articles for the last year since Trump got elected, and apparently in an attempt to get hired by the Trump administration. without any real basis in understanding how the system works and how it impacts people on the ground today. I have very little sympathy for those who have, quote, worked in the system. In Nolan's case, he wrote deportation orders for the Board of Immigration Appeals for 20 years. But the reality is, arguing how Bob Goodlatte, who has literally no allies left in the House, and who demands a floor vote without a committee vote, without a committee hearing, but it demands a floor vote on SAFA, and how Goodlatte could, Nolan's trying to tell him how he could revise this bill to make it more palatable. Here's what I did think about this. Goodlatte, quote, needs to overcome the negative impression some Democrats have of him and his bill. Yeah, that's going to be impossible because Goodlatte has spent the last 25 years hating on immigrants. Maybe, I don't know, maybe he went bankrupt. Maybe he was a crappy immigration lawyer. Who knows? I mean, who knows what was going on? So what Nolan tells Goodlatte to do is to include a statutory DACA program with a legalization program that would not become available until the bill's enforcement provisions are implemented. My God, Nolan, that is such a joke. Have you not been around for the last 20 years? Do you remember what they were saying in the House? As soon as we implement and have full enforcement of the border, then we're going to have our immigration. Then we can talk about immigration reform. Yeah, and where are we today? We have secure borders. Yeah, people still come in illegal. You catch them. Some get through. They're always going to get through. So basically what you're asking for is something that will never happen as a triggering condition to give these kids, now young adults, a future in America that they have grown up being taught they could have. That's just a joke, Nolan, really. Now, and it's funny, no one likes to refer to IRCA, a legalization program that legalized 2.7 million people but led to 5 million new undocumented immigrants 10 years later. Yeah, because the IRCA was bad because it didn't have any future flow, and you forced people into a funnel that was too small. I mean, come on. Anybody with a brain knows how bad IRCA was. So here's what's, for those of you who don't remember what Goodlatte's bill would do. One, it ends the diversity visa program. Two, it ends family immigration, which these anti-immigration people love calling chain immigration because they think it sounds bad. They think, now chain immigration is a formal term used by demographers, but not in the immigration context. They've taken this word and they've used it because they think chain, it brings you down, it drags you to the depths of the sea, it makes you an awful country because you let families reunite. So it ends diversity visa program. So no more African, Eastern European immigration. It ends family immigration, so no more immigration from anywhere else. And reduces legal immigration, not 25%, my friend Nolan, but by more than 50%. Just gone. Two, it gives Trump his wall. Ooh, Trump can have his wall. He could be so happy now. We can all enter the orgasmatron. It also establishes an entry-exit system at all ports of entry, which, by the way, was in the 96 law, and you didn't fund, Mr. Congressman, even when you controlled Congress, Hoser. And then what it also does is tries to make E-Verify mandatory, which is going to be upsetting to a lot of employers in America, cracks down on sanctuary cities, whatever that means, and makes unlawful presence, that is somebody who overstays a federal misdemeanor. Now, of course, the ex post facto laws means anybody who currently did that is not, can't be convicted of a crime because it can't be applied retroactively. What it does is it acknowledges for the first time that overstaying your visa is not a crime. It is not a crime. It's a status violation, but it's not a crime. It then gives temporary legal status to DACA kids for 3 years. It's really funny this bill that Goodlatte puts forward is because they think it's going to be some panacea to solve America's problems. What this bill would do, if it passed, now it will never pass, let's be clear. It's never going to pass because it's not going to pass the Senate. Zero chance in the Senate. It's dead on arrival in the Senate. But if it passed, it would be destructive not only to legal immigration, but it would increase illegal immigration exponentially because people that can't come illegally are still going to want to come, and they will still come. They will buy fake passports. They will come into the country illegally. Okay, the border is secure. What about boats? Get on a boat. You know, Cuban's been doing it for 50 years. You're going to get in a 57 Chevy and come across the straits. I mean, it's always out there. These things are always happening. So we've got a, you know, this idea that legislation is going to come forward and solve the problems that we have with immigration today while Trump is president, while he insists on a immigration program that has no basis in reality and literally only goes to fulfill a stupid campaign promise. I can promise you, David, that we're not going to have a wall if family immigration is eliminated. We're not going to have a wall if the diversity lottery is eliminated. And we're not going to have a wall unless DACA kids get legal residence in the United States. Those are the conditions under which a wall will be built. Now, Trump has to choose between his wall, his Santissimo Muro, his holy wall, or family immigration. Because family immigration is not going to go anywhere. That's a Steve Miller talking point. Stephen Miller and Jeff Sessions and the minions that hate immigrants that are in this administration. So, David, that's my rant for today. I kind of got geared up. I was very upset by some of the things that happened this last week, but also heartened because I also see young men and women, many of whom work for me. I've got 7 DACA kids that work for me. And I see the contributions they make to our community, to my firm, and to the groups they serve. And what I see are people, young men and women, who are as American as anybody else, who are, in fact, keeping America great and wonderful. We have a lot to do as a country to measure up to the ideals that they hold us to. And isn't that truly ironic? If we have kids who believe so much in America that they want to be part of our experiment, part of our great democracy, don't we owe it to them to let them be so? And isn't it really ironic that the same people who purport to love America, who think America was never great, at least not recently great, and it can only be great, great by El Trumpasso, that those same people want to tell these DACA kids, no, we don't want you part of our country. We want you out of here, even though you love America as much as I do. That's Chuck Cook on the Immigration Hour on America's Web Radio. If you have any complaints, you can send them to GM at America's Web Radio. If you need a job in radio today, and you know computers, you know websites, you know social media, David needs to hear from you at gm@americaswebradio.com or complaints, same email address. Compliments you can, of course, send to me at chuck@immigration.net. Give me a call at your convenience. Look forward to talking to you guys next week on America's Web Radio.
Cook Immigration Partners is your passport through the immigration maze. Whether it's help with E-Verify in your business, or help in how to document a new employee under the new I-9 rules, or if you marry a foreign national, Cook Immigration Partners is your best choice for a legal advocate. Call us today at 866-286-6200. That's 866-286-6200. Or visit us on the web at www.immigration.net.